Yeah, just a few minutes. I don't think we. Is it, is that recent, your designs there? Yeah. It looks nice. Yeah. You can add and keep adding. Yeah. This is a great little spot. It's a perfect place for kirtan. I'm still going to need all the help I can get because my voice is shattered.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Listen carefully. Hare, Hare, Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Jai Shri Ram.
Well, is the birthday boy adrift? We were just, myself and Giridhari were just discussing, you know, how on most, all of our Guru Maharajas, when they have their appearance day, is called Vyas Puja. You know, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's evident that Vyas Puja means that the person that Vyas is worshipped on the Vyas Puja day. Of course, actually, Chaitanya Bhagavat was that ceremony was done on Guru Purnima, it seems. But the day when Vyas is worshipped by all the gurus. You know, here in ISKCON and Gaudiya Math, it seems that it's more like the guru is worshipped as the representative of Vyas. But even in that discussion, it's interesting to observe that who was Vyasadeva and who was Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami was not a Diksha descendant of Vyas. Neither was Pariksit Maharaj a Diksha descendant of Shukadeva. So in our movement, it's kind of come to mean that, you know, whoever's the Diksha Guru gets the Vyas Puja, isn't it? Who's the Diksha Guru, and all the pomp and fanfare is about all that, which is not wrong in a certain respect, but in the sense that maybe we should see that, especially for the benefit of the neophytes, the Guru should be worship upon pomp and fanfare so that there's some sense of importance about the relationship generated, as long as what the guru is saying is siddhantic, then it becomes useful. But, you know, the real understanding of the relationship with Vyas is not a Diksha relationship. There's no consideration of the Diksha relationship. It's a consideration of whether, you know, Bhagavat Shiksha is coming through the Bhagavat Sampradaya. That's the Vyas Puja, the real understanding of what the significance of Vyas Puja in relationship to our movement.
is it the Bhagavad Sampradaya, is the Shiksha Sampradaya. And it basically, the principle has virtually nothing to do with Bhiksha. Our Bhagavad line that we see, you know, the pictures lined up on the altar, there's not even the slightest consideration of the Diksha principle involved. Although we see that there's a Diksha relationship between Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, and there's a Diksha relationship between Bhaktisiddhanta and Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, but just because there happens to be coincidentally that Diksha relationship between these three individuals, that doesn't mean that lineup of pictures is meant to show a Diksha Sampradaya. It's not meant to show a Diksha Sampradaya. It's meant to show the Sampradaya through which our Bhagavad Siddhanta has descended. So in that sense, the proper understanding, of course, I'm not, you know, claiming that this should be, you know, a Vyas Puja, you know, celebration, but since it is my ungodly appearance day, and since that kind of idea, you know, comes up in some people's minds, but at least we should understand what is the Vyas Puja principle. Principle is that in the Bhagavad Sampradaya, Shiksha Sampradaya, the representative of Vyas, who is disseminating the Bhagavad Siddhanta, is worshipped, or Vyas is worshipped through the, you know, anyone who's, you know, maintaining the Bhagavad Sampradaya intact on the basis of pure, you know, unalloyed Krishna conscious expression based on realization. If the genuine, pure, devotional siddhantic expression is lacking, then it's basically a farcical affair. Or at least greatly lacking, you know, in substance. You know, the consideration of form and substance. Yeah. Krishna gives life to the mantra. Krishna, you know, the mantra is the name of Krishna. When Krishna condescends to make his divine appearance in the heart of a pure devotee to keep the pure devotee company, out of attraction for the service attitude, the devotional attitude of that pure devotee, Krishna becomes won over by that pure devotee, or at least takes pity on him and comes and sits on the heart of the pure devotee and dances on the tongue of the pure devotee in the form of pure Shabda Brahman. So Shudanam is the actual descent of Krishna. Prabhupada, in this one essay that's found in the Harmonist, Lip and Life, you remember reading that essay? He says that when one chants Shudanam, then anything that comes from his that is spoken by him is pure Shabda Brahman. He never deviates from the principle of Shabda Brahman. So every word that he says has pure transcendental spiritual potency, because Krishna is manifest, present in his heart and dancing on his tongue in every whatever sound configuration manifests, you know, from his. Not necessarily. Yeah, those who are actually bona fide representatives of the Shiksha Sampradaya, who are empowered, they all have it. But in the Shiksha Sampradaya, if, in other words, as the generations ensue, it doesn't mean that just because we claim as followers of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, you know, or as followers of Bhaktisiddhanta even, just because we claim that we have the connection, either Bhagwat or Diksha, Mantra Diksha connection with them, doesn't mean that automatically the realization or the maturity of the individual is a direct consequence. But rather, it may take time for someone to actually evolve. Just like I remember reading where Bhaktisiddhanta says that after meeting Sadguru, it generally takes three lifetimes for the conditioned soul to attain ultimate perfection. That means Vastu City. In the first lifetime, after having met genuine Sadguru in the line, then he says that they generally chant Aparadnam, the offended name. And then in the second lifetime, and Aparadnam means, because they're still Kanishta Adhikaris, it's incumbent upon them, if they're a little intelligent, to align themselves with the Vidhi, you know, the Vidhi process, and under the force of Vidhis and order of Guru and whatever, then there's hope for them to at least make some progress in that lifetime. But then in the second lifetime, having made that progress, then it's possible for them to chant Abhasnam, come to the platform of a chanting Abhasnam at the clearing stage, and from the clearing stage, sufficient Anartha Nivritti will come, and then by Anartha Nivritti, one can come up to the Nishta platform and enter into the Madhyam Adhikar. And from the Madhyam Adhikar, it's possible to enter into the Ragmark. But then, in the third lifetime, one attains the platform of chanting Shudanam, and by Shudanam, by the influence of Bhakti Shakti or Sarup Shakti, because Nijasarva Shaktis, all the Shaktis are in Shudanam. All the Shaktis are not in Abhasnam or in Aparanam, but in the pure name, which is non-different from Krishna, all of his Antaranga Shaktis are there. By the influence of the Antaranga Shaktis, gradually Bhav and Prema become manifest, and when he attains Bhav Siddhi, at least Bhav Siddhi, the Prophet said, at least we should attain Bhav. He was demanding in one class, he was saying that we cannot imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Mahabhav expressions. He says, but at least, he used the word at least we should attain Bhav. From Bhav, we can enter into the Bhoma Leelas, and then in the Bhoma Leelas, either of the Bhoma Leelas of Lord Chaitanya, or the Bhoma Leelas of Radha and Krishna, we can attain Prema by the grace of the Nitya Parikar of Radha and Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, I wasn't there at that time. Yeah, that's okay, but still there has to be an evolution of consciousness. That's one thing. Yeah, Guru Kripa. But that means that by his mercy, the evolution of consciousness will take place at a certain point, at least. But, you know, generally the principle is that there has to be, it's like, okay, even we go on distributing books in this lifetime, and then at the end, somehow or other, Prabhupada will be merciful and take us back to Godhead, Exactly what that means is not clear. He didn't necessarily say that we would end up in Braj Leela, you know. Yeah. Maybe in the Bommalilas. Yeah. 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 But and also conducive to the evolvement of pure devotional understanding. Because it's just like if I'm distributing books, but I never give up the attachment to, you know, the false pride and all these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm having the fitness for anything. We expect that to happen, but unfortunately, I can't vouch for everyone who is supposedly, yes, not only that, but because after all, Srila Prabhupada also said that 90% of his disciples would not go back to Godhead in his lifetime. Yes, so or whatever, you know. Stay here in this material world in one way or another. But getting back to that original question as to whether or not, you know, all the people coming in the Bhagwat line are perfectly in accord, that depends on, I mean, we revere everyone from Srila Prabhupada back as such, but it depends on us individually as to whether or not we're actually taking up the spirit of the thing and propagating the spirit of the thing, as to whether or not we are genuine constituents of that Bhagavad line. Otherwise, you know, everyone can claim anything, you know, that, oh, I'm a member of ISKCON, or I'm a member of Gaudiya Math, or I'm a member of whatever. But just claiming, membership doesn't constitute the adhikar to actually, you know, do the job. So, many times we say that, well, that, you know, in the Diksha line, you know, the Diksha line is not so important, you know, because there may be so many discrepancies. Well, I say the Bhagavat line may also, in the same sense, be not so important if there are so many discrepancies. Because there are people who sit on the Bhagavat asana and preach all rubbish, who have not actually understood the Siddhanta. No, those who are listed going back, but we're talking about, you know, hey, don't think that just because, you know, you're coming in the Bhagavad Parampara that automatically gives you right, you know, as per Adhikar or as per, you know, Siddhantic understanding or any of these things. We actually have to evolve to the position of functional constituents in order to merit being placed among that Guru Varga as representatives of the Guru Parampara or the disciplic succession. Otherwise, where is the question of disciplic succession? Because there's no discipline. You're not disciplined according to the principles of disciplic succession based on, you know, our own, you know, frailties, mental concoction or whatever it may be. Then, you know, the chain is as strong as its weakest link. You know, we pride that Srila Prabhupada is coming in an unbroken chain of fully self-realized spiritual masters, but my dear Prabhu, you know, who's the next link in that unbroken chain? Is it broken or not broken? You know, what constitutes unbroken and what constitutes a break in the, you know, just like Krishna says to Arjuna that he had to again, you know, teach the message of Bhagavad Gita, because in due course of time, the yoga became, the philosophy became obscured. You know? So this, it's not like we coming in this parampara, we consider it to be a glorious Bhagavat parampara, but it doesn't mean that we can't obscure the message and confuse everything and create an impasse for future generations to actually glean the essence of what this sampradaya is intending to propagate. You know, after all, you know, it may be that Srila Prabhupada is encouraging us by saying that if you distribute books, but in the end, we can hardly think that it's going to be the books that are going to be fully Krishna conscious for us. Yeah, simply learn to love Krishna. Yeah. It's just like, you know, I address these issues in the book that I've been writing. You know, how Prabhupada said that one time he was asked that can one become Krishna conscious by distributing your books? And Prabhupada answered that if one is distributing my books, then one is Krishna conscious. Like that. Or he's like, can we become Krishna conscious by distributing, you know, if you are distributing my books, then you are Krishna conscious. But then I ask the question, you know, how Krishna conscious? How Krishna conscious does Krishna consciousness have to be before Krishna conscious can be considered Krishna conscious enough to really be fully Krishna conscious? You know, so when we say an unbroken chain of fully self-realized spiritual masters, so then all right, that automatically, you know, challenges us to get it together. If we're going to be a member of that unbroken chain of fully self-realized spiritual masters, you know, put the horse before the cart. Yeah. Yeah, but where is that line going? That doesn't mean that all the branches are going to, you know, it's like, just like Mahaprabhu's, you know, the Chaitanya tree had many branches, but some of them dried up, became asara. So it will go somewhere, one way or another, wherever there's an unobstructed passage. Just like Ganga, naturally the Ganges flows wherever there's an unobstructed passage. Channel. Yeah. Yeah. Why? So that you can have enough time to wolf it down? Yeah. Okay, I guess we should stop for prasadam then. How do you go? It's okay, go and do it. We all hope for Kripa City. But Prabhupada said that is rare. It's obvious that he's not just giving Kripa City to just anyone. He's giving Kripa City to those who are actually adhering. Adhering. Otherwise, why is it that he's saying 90% will not go? Yeah, 10%. But it seems like it's a little pathetic. It's pathetic, you know, when you think that Lord Chaitanya's movement was meant to spread far and wide love of Godhead, you know, break open the storehouse of love of Godhead and distribute the fruits of love of Godhead without considering who's fit, who's unfit, you know, to all the most fallen conditioned souls, and yet, you know, only 10% of the very minuscule percentage, milli percentage, of people on this planet who are taking up devotional service at all are going to make it. So, Hari Bol. The idea is to be, you know, at least siddhantically edified. You know, from by hearing or reading the literatures which were left by our Guru Varga in the especially in the Bhagavad Sampradaya. Then we can actually glean the essence of what is there to be gained from associating with the Rupa Nigra Sampradaya. You know, if we get it, then we can help others get it. If we somehow or other couldn't get it, then God help anyone who, you know, is depending on us. What are the arrangements for the sod distribution?
I think they're put in place now. Sorry, sorry.
Outside? Oh.
Miranda.
Okay. I like this desire tree. we have pears, we have mangoes, we have. What is this? What is it? What are you doing?
It's a birthday.
The birthday ride.
An aloe vera leaf? What is all this?
Bagua.
You have to check it out, Nathan.
You have to check it out. We'll put it in the bag.
Bag.
Thank you.